Good morning, good morning, good morning, lovely people. Good morning. Okay, I can now do the countdown. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, lovely people. We are live, we are live, we are live. Please do join us. Please do join us. This is Ntabiseng Webe speaking. And I'm sorry, I do apologize. We are scheduled to start at 10 o'clock, but here we are only starting at 10:19. Hey guys, technology, eh? Technology, I'm better. So I'm relying on a whole team of people to help me. And so I was making calls and I was calling them. And some are here and some are. So they were all just trying to get me to be able to get through to you. So how is your Monday morning, guys? How is your Monday morning, guys? Please do join us. Tell your friends, share this video. You know, just invite whoever you want to invite. Notify them that, hey, we are on live. We are on live. I see already comments are coming through, hey? I see comments are coming through. Yeah, there's one. Pastor Clement says, yes, we are. He says, yes, we are watching. We are watching. Here we are. We are watching. So, guys, I'm just going to invite you to please tune in. And once again, my sincere apologies for being late. Latan is also here. Oh, my God. I'm also happy to see the support we are getting on our first broadcast. And you know what? I'm going to be more proactive. I'm going to be intentional in terms of getting myself to be what's the right weight. Yeah, you know, to get the hang of things, in terms of technology. So I'm just going to try my best so that we are on time next time. Oh my God, I see Sis Busi is here. Thank you for joining us. Now, guys, just keep those comments coming through. Just keep them coming through, and I'm just gonna go right in and delve into the topic. So this is Monday morning, the 7th of March, guys. You saw what happened recently with the media. This is Motivational Mondays, and we are starting on tackling the serious issues, which some people may be scared. So on this platform, we are going to be talking about anything, and I mean anything. Gaspedi bar ntongwe, ga English bar anything, ga Afrikaans bar ienege iets. Yeah, whatever it is that is of concern, we are going to be talking about it. So join us as we go on this journey. But today, I want us to start on this topic. It's a very serious issue, ladies and gentlemen. It's about, you know, our mental wellness. What kind of society are we living in? You know, I've observed with only this year, we had Miss America, you know, Miss USA, a beautiful young lady who she had it all. And she just ended her life by throwing herself off a building. That is, I believe, in New York, if I'm not mistaken. And that is where that happened. Closer to home, we've got two prominent figures. We've got Ubaba Shai, who ended his life. And then we've got a very well-known and successful hip-hop artist, Ricky Rick, who ended his life. So I'm deciding. I need to, this is the platform of Motivate within the same web. So guys, allow me to talk about this. I know that I'm supposed to motivate you, and that is what I want to do. But I believe that if we start here, we're going to be on the right track. So let's start on this topic. Why is it that we are in a culture that seems to, you know, seeing suicide as a way out? Why do we see suicide as a way to end, you know, it all? As a way to, you know, just get out of it. I can't deal with this anymore, so let me rather move on. Are we living in a culture that is part of what is happening around it? Are we living in a culture that perhaps doesn't really care or doesn't even promote helping people with mental issues? Because guys, to be honest with you, having, you know, issues to an extent that you want to end your life, it's a symptom of mental unwellness. Oh, English, mental unwellness. So guys, in most my observation, most of the people that I come across who are you know, in a state of feeling that, you know, it can be the end for me. It would rather be the end for me. They are experiencing a lot. They are going through a lot. And it's difficult at the moment, really, to speak about ending one's life. I mean, making the decision to say I'm ending my life and detaching that from depression. It's very difficult. So I would say that the two are intertwined. They are actually married, in my view. Because if you look at it, depression, it's actually one of the symptoms of a suicidal state. So you can't really just say mutu is suicidal or someone is suicidal and you detach all of that they're experiencing or their mental state from what is in that they're going. My own assessment or what I've been through, I've realized that suicide is actually the be it and all, the end of your depression. You know, you get depressed, you get in a state where you feel that, you know, I just can't do this life thing anymore. I just can't go through this life thing anymore. I can't just go through this breakup. I just can't go through this heartache. I just can't go through this poverty, whatever reason it may be. So you get to that point where you say, you know what? I've been depressed about this for so long. I'm getting to a point where I'm ending my life. So suicide is the pinnacle of it, is the climax of the as mental one who is in a depressive state. So I want us to talk about this now, hopelessness. Because most people who end their lives, most people who take the decision to end their lives, they're actually hopeless. You know, they get to a place where they feel that, ooh, I don't want to live anymore. They get to a place where they feel that my situation will never get better. They get to a place where they feel that, you know, no one can help me. So it's actually a state of hopelessness, and then it's also a state of helplessness. Like no one can really assist me through what I'm going. No one can do anything about what I'm facing. Really a state of, you know what, it's too late now. You know, I've lost it all. I cannot recover from this. I cannot make a comeback from this. So I might as well just give up. I might as well just, you know, end it. I might as well just give up what I'm going through, you know. So at the end of the day, that person is in a helpless situation. That person is at a point where in their lives they feel, you know what, I just can't do this anymore. I will never ever be happy again. Those are the sentiments of what they are going through. So let's talk a minute about hopelessness. You know, a person who is hopeless is a person who, you know, hopelessness actually is a very powerful emotion, right? It's an overwhelming emotion. You get to a point where you feel that I have nothing to look forward to anymore. That is hopelessness. There is nothing that I can be, you know, I don't even want to say rejoice or to, just to have another day where things can be better. Just to have another day where things can go in another way. And when I looked at symptoms, sort of synonyms for the word hopelessness, I got anxiety, I got despair, I got, you know, a person who has given up, I got a person who has thrown in the towel. So those are some of the words, those that describes to us what a hopeless person is. And they just, you know, indicate to us that this person doesn't really have anything much more that is going for them in their lives. So they feel that I can just throw in the towel. So it's an emotion that we mustn't ignore. It's an emotion that is, a red alert, an indicator that, hey, guys, watch out for this person. They might not even want to live anymore. They may be on the brink of suicide, you see. So when we are experiencing a hopeless person, a helpless someone, we must be aware that we are dealing with a powerful emotion. This is an emotion that often contributes to the dark outlook of somebody's life. You know, the person would be like, I don't have anything, you know, that I want to do anymore. It may affect how they perceive their everyday environment. It affects how they perceive their everyday life. And even how they perceive themselves. Yeah, how, you know, their self-confidence. It may adversely be affected by the fact that they are hopeless. It affects their personal circumstances and even the world around them. That is what a state of hopelessness does. So often, hopelessness, it can have a significant, a very, 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 very important influence on the human being themselves. You know, it may even affect maybe the whole reason why they see everything in a negative light. So if you look at the stats right now, in our country, Okay, in worldwide, suicide is prevalent at its highest, the highest deaths of suicide. And of course, now let's talk about South Africa. Our country has a high rate of suicide. You know, if you look at the South African depression and anxiety group, it has a lifeline. It has a number where you call, where you try to get assistance when you are overwhelmed with emotions, when you are overwhelmed and trying to cope with whatever it is that you are going through or trying to get some assistance. According to the reports, this lifeline in a day, that is in 2020, in a day only, they were fielding about, and I'll tell you now, it reports, first of all, that for, you know, there are in a day in South Africa, 23 known cases of suicide in our country. Those are reported every day, daily. These are stats I'm giving you for 2020. This is in each single day, 23 people taking their lives. And for that to say, person who succeeds in taking their life, 10 have made an attempt. That is shocking. That is scary. For every person who commits, successfully ends their life, 10 have made an attempt and they live to come and, you know, share their feelings. You know, before COVID-19, and I'm going to come back to why I'm speaking of COVID-19, the South African 600 calls a day of suicidal people, of depressed people, people wanting to get help. And you know, with COVID, this figure has just increased. And you will be shocked to learn that it has increased by actually 40%, eh? Just from COVID-19, it has increased by almost 40%. So this means that South African Anxiety and Depression Group actually fields about 2,200 calls a day per day of people who are feeling hopeless, people who are feeling despondent, feeling that, you know, I've got nowhere else to go, I've got nothing more, you know, to look forward to. So what is it about this? What are the causes of this? And I said a while back, I'll come back to why I'm mentioning COVID-19. COVID-19 resulted in a lot of, what can I call it? You know, people just went through a lot with COVID. The adjustment to you know, how we lived, the loss of income for many people, the job cuts in the market for many people. So a lot of town, many people were jobless, many people were without an income, and many people who were outgoing were now suddenly homebound, you know, resulting in a massive overhaul, if I can call it that, a 90 degree turnaround to how people lived their life. So to people who were outgoing, for them being homebound, it's a depressive state of mind. I'm not even going to talk about the result of this on marriages, because if you look at it, most marriages suffered during COVID. Most people who are going through divorces, they will tell you now, you know, I don't need to mention even the celebrities, you read about it. They are saying that, you know, during COVID, we just grew apart. And some say, you know, we just couldn't deal with being around each other 24/7. So COVID in itself brought a lot to the human, you know, people, to the human everyday life. So for most people dealing with now sudden change of poverty, sudden change of income, sudden change of haves and not, the lack of provision, it causes people to feel hopeless. It causes people to ask like that now. Are we as South African, and I want to get your input on this, are we as South Africans perhaps in a culture of, have we learned helplessness? You know, are we in a state where we feel that it's easy for us to be helpless, it's easy for us to just give up, than to just keep on persevering, than to just keep on hoping that something will get better, than to just keep on trusting that something will get better? And you know, in as much as I'm trying not to speak about this from a spiritual point of view, it's difficult not to. And without hope, it most probably says you don't have anything to believe in. The belief system. What do you trust in? Is there something that is saying to you, tomorrow will be better? Is there something that is saying to you, hi man, just keep on soldiering on? just keep on, you know, going on. It's bound to improve, regardless of what you're looking at today. It's bound to improve. So I'm looking at things around us, and I'm asking myself that numerous things really lead to one just feeling helpless. You know, you look at social media bullying. You look at even the school environment. Even children can start feeling helpless when they are failing to perform at school, when they are being under pressure to perform at school, and they are just not cutting it. You know, when I mean cutting it, I mean they're just not grasping it at the level that the teachers expect. So you find a word is being said, "Hi, when I'm dumb cop, hi, when I'm an issue, what's my king? Rishalam rao because of when." Then it dwells on the child, and then the child just feels, you know what, I'm trying my best, but you know, it's not appreciated, it's not being acknowledged. So I feel helpless. So I feel I can't do more than what I am doing now. So what is it that is causing our society to be like this? Is it a state of saying, are we living in a society really that is having or applying too much pressure on people? Yes. Are we applying too much pressure on people? When I say pressure, I mean, are we expecting people to have jobs, and when they don't have jobs, you know, they are failures? Are we expecting people to be married? Yes. Are we expecting people to stick it out in unhappy marriages? And when those marriages don't work out, hey, they're failures. Are we expecting people to even get married when they don't want to get married? And if they don't, hey, they're failures. Are we as society applying too much pressure on people? You know, so that what is just a phase becomes actually a challenging circumstance. Is that the kind of world that perhaps we are living in? You know, the standards that we have set for ourselves, the standard that we are setting in everyday life, could it be perhaps that we are, you know, the ones applying unnecessary pressure to make it worse for our brothers and our sisters? It'd be the lack of resources. That's another story, okay? The lack of resources, that when you're feeling hopeless, there are things, there are books, there are places that you can go that are going to assist you. There are people that you can talk to. If one doesn't have access to those resources, then what does one do? We hopeless and you know, start to look for a psychologist. But those people are getting paid. They're not for free. You know, those are some of the things that we are looking at. Or also, are we in an environment or in a society that what's the right word? That what's the right word, man? That shames, yeah. I would say shames. Are we in a society perhaps that shames mental health issues? Feeling hopeless. I can't even speak up. People will say, "Yo, hi, tina bantu abamnyama. We don't get depression. Tina bantu abamnyama." As black people, we don't get those are sicknesses for white people. Are we living in a society that, you know, compartmentalizes diseases according to race, perhaps? Compartmentalizes issues even according to race, perhaps? Could those be some of the things that lead our society to feel hopeless? Could those be some of the things that lead our society to feel helpless? Pela, you know, we are applying too much pressure. Because in my view, if matric results are released, this is not even my view, this is a fact. When matric results are released, the child will kill themselves just because they didn't pass. Why? Because society says you must pass matric, eh? You have to pass your matric. You fail matric, I can't even face going to the people and saying, you know what, I have to repeat. We are not living in an environment that encourages failure and says, you know, not encourages us fail, but encourages. We are not living in an environment or in a society that encourages people picking up where they failed and saying, you know, what lesson am I learning here? We are living in a society instead that says, yo, ofeji, yo, linyalo le padile, marriage didn't work for you. Yo, abangani bakho, so and so is so happily married. Yo, so and so is so doing well. So-and-so has started a company. So your company has failed. Society we are living in. And maybe we know we are adding pressure. And maybe we need to reevaluate it. so that we restore a culture of hope in people. We restore an environment of people being able to sit down when things are not going well and say, you know what, Pella, I need mentorship here. I need someone who can assist me. I need someone who can, you know, help me end where I failed. Because really speaking, truly speaking, our culture is a culture of laughing shame. Our people laugh at people. That's why they even say, those diseases are there for white people. They're for white people shame, not for black people. You go to a black person, you tell them I'm depressed. Most of them, they will laugh at you. They will laugh at you, but say, when? Why are you depressed? Those things are for white. You say, I want to go to a psychologist. Mario, you have problems. You say, I need to go counseling. They say, just call the elders. Bichabu malume. And then you sit and talk. That's the culture. That's the society. That, you know, maybe it's time that we start re-evaluating our values as South Africans. And not only us, you know, worldwide, we need to re-evaluate our values in the sense that I think we place too much emphasis on success in terms of the exterior. You know, we never really put emphasis on success from the, you know, the interior. We never say that if you are at peace, you know, just being at peace, that is an achievement on its own. If you are, you know, having joy, that is an achievement on its own. Now, I don't want to lie to you. I've lived a life where I've attempted suicide 3 times. It's in my book, The Mending of a Broken Vessel. Guys, it's in this book. You get the book, it's there. I'm not talking about myths. 3 times almost, right? So I'm scared by this statistics of how people are almost, you know, for 1% that successfully commit suicide 10. So I'm looking at it from a point of view that one of the reasons that caused me to almost commit to almost end my life was the fact that I lost my job. Are we not putting too much emphasis on material things? You know, when I drive my Porsche, then I don't have it anymore. I can't afford it anymore, and then I can't afford to change and just maybe go and drive a Corolla. What are people going to say about me? Pelas in Tabi same way. And they say, what? We know, and she's a lawyer, Miss. She's everyone knows. They say, Pella is a musician, she's an accountant. We know her. She's doing well, she's a chartered accountant. So why can't she drive a Corsa? Why can't she drive a Corolla? She was driving a Porsche. Ooh, things are not going well. Are we not living, you know, in a culture that really just put too much on our babs, you know? I'm living there in the sand. I just want to move, and then I just want to go. And then people are just saying, she failed. You can't just make the decision that, no, I don't want to stay in town. People will say, she failed. The bills, the mukhamila up to here. So she can't cope anymore. So instead of, you know, looking at your life from you adjusting, they look at it from you have failed. I want to tell you this, and this is something that I want to address. You know, one of the greatest causes of hopelessness, helplessness, deep, which result in depression, which is suicide. Yes, I'm putting it like that. One of the greatest causes of hopelessness, saying there's no tomorrow, it cannot get better than this. You know, there's nothing more that I can achieve. You know, I'll never be happy again. Helplessness. There's nothing that can be done about my situation. Those things ultimately lead to depression. Your mind becomes oppressed with your problem. Your problem is the biggest, biggest thing that can ever take place. There's just no way of getting out of it. And then the ultimate result of it, the pinnacle, masterpiece, where we say, she has done it now. It's when they commit suicide. One of the leading causes is failure on our part to adjust. But how do you adjust in a society that laughs at you when you adjust? You know, the ability to adjust to your financial situation, the ability to adjust to what is going on in your marriage, the ability to adjust to, you know, what is going on in your finances, what is going on in your children's life. That is what causes people to commit suicide. They cannot just deal with what is going on realistically and say, you know what, I cannot afford anymore to stay in town. I cannot afford anymore to drive this big car. I cannot afford anymore for my children to be in Puro, for my children to be in where in Crawford. No, I have to adjust because financially I'm not doing well. I don't have the job anymore. People cannot even adjust to just getting a job that provides for them without, you know, aspiring to equate what they used to have prior to COVID. If before COVID I was working as a manager and I was a district manager, and that job is not available anymore because the company is downsizing, I can't even just go and accept a normal job, yeah, management, just at mutual. Why? Guys, we've got to learn to adjust to what is happening around us. We've got to learn to adjust, be it financially, be it in our homes, be it, you know, in whatever surroundings. Even adjusting, helping those who are around us to adjust. You know, when you see someone suffering again, when you see someone going through difficulty, you've got to be able to say, you know what, can we not try this? You know, instead of being the laughing stock, you know, the one that laughs the most at them. No. Rather be the one who approaches them. See your battery. It's not this business idea. It's just that I'm working full time. It needs someone who can be committed to it full time. Can you start? Can you look at maybe starting this business? Can you look at maybe, you know, going into this area? Can you look at maybe just trying out, you know, and making a success of this? You know, because most of us really, it's not that we are not in a position to help people. And to help someone doesn't need money. To help someone just needs you. To have time to listen to them, to have someone means just needs you to have time to give them. You know, some people, Pella, they are in a situation where when one is in a depressed mind, you don't see anything else except your problem. Seriously, you don't see anything else. You don't see a good outcome. You don't see a better tomorrow. You don't see even a business proposal is the furthest thing from your mind. A business, you know, advancement is the furthest thing from your mind. But if someone brings it and just, you know, a light bulb goes off in your mind and you say, but I never thought of that. Yes, let me try that. You know, we must be able to adjust. We must be able to also help other people adjust to their lifestyles. You know, so again, I want to talk about the stigma that is attached to mental illness. We've got to do away with that. We've got to foster an environment where people can speak openly about what they are going through and what they are, the challenges that they are facing. If you look at many of the groups that exist now, you know, a society for the deaf, this for the mute, it's because people are not feeling heard by the normal society. Tina, we hear, we can hear, Tina, we can speak to people who are different to us. That's how mankind is. We don't have time for people who you know, are experiencing challenges that are different to us. But it's what we've got to turn around. We've got to give ourselves time for people. We've got to give ourselves time to listen to what is bothering people. We've got to give ourselves time to help people, you know, so that when they encounter a challenge, even though we may not know 100% about it, but you know what, my sister, my brother, I am here to listen. My brother, my sister, I know someone who had a child who was deaf. You know, and this is who went through a divorce. You know, let's phone them. Let's ask how did they cope. Let's ask how did they manage to get through it. What did they do so that they can go through it without feeling hopeless? Those are the kind of people or conversations that we can encourage. Conversations around the table. You know, instead of saying, "Ha, she's getting divorced. Yo, yeah, Kitsibile, I saw her. She will not succeed. Yeah, Kitsibile, you know that one. Kale apapa. She won't make it in marriage. Her personality, I knew she was going to get divorced. Let's create a different environment. Let's normalize mental, you know, illness. Let's make it a discussion around the table. One of the reasons I'm doing this, and one of the reasons it's a passion for me, it's the fact that now when people looked at me, they didn't understand. How could you try to kill yourself? You had two children. You know, you were staying in the suburbs. You were a partner in a law firm. So why do you want to, why did you want to kill yourself? And for me, my second attempt, when my marriage was collapsing, I had no one to just, you know, hear me out. I had no one to listen to me. I had no one to even, and I will share this with you. My mom had gone through a divorce. So I couldn't even speak to her, just to indicate to you the kind of society we live in. You know, us black people, we don't talk. We don't talk about things that are not comfortable to share, even with our children. You know, we just keep things to ourselves. We want to present this persona, this image of I am winning. I, you know, everything is good for me. But listen here, we are killing our own. And I'm repeating it, we are killing our own. I want us to challenge ourselves. You know, for every suicide attempt that I made three. I'm making it my mission now to give suicide a face. You know, to give it, you know, to give someone who wants to, who has the thought of committing suicide, that thought of saying, you know what, if Pastor Ntabise went through this and she made it alive, I can make it. I can make it tomorrow. There is a better, you know, tomorrow I can look forward to. And another thing, guys, just living, making an effort to lead fulfilled lives. What do I mean by fulfilled lives? Not making our lives really just about work, home, marriage. Trying to go deeper into you. What is your passion? Because when we have passions, we get to a place where there are more important things in our lives. I'm going to share this with you, and I think this will better explain it. I watched Oprah with an interview when she was just starting out, when she left the TV station that she was with, and then she went on to start her own Oprah Winfrey show. And they were interviewing her. And they said to her, so you're going to start this TV talk show, and it's going to take the world off, and then it's going to be successful. And the interviewer said to her, what if it doesn't succeed? And I loved her answer. And she said, I would love to start this show that just takes the world off, you know, blows the world off their feet. I'm also fine. She said, because I've got other important things that need my attention. Mm-hmm. Right there. Do you have other important things that need your attention? Do you have other important things that you must, you know, can focus on, other than this thing that is just eating up your mind, that is just eating up your soul, that is just telling you that no, it's the end. You've got to have better things. And that is why I said somewhere in this video that I need to speak about suicide and not and detach it from spirituality. Because for me, I found that once I started hoping in Christ, once I started having the knowledge of who Christ is, having the love of Christ in me, when I started experiencing that, you know, God loves me, when I started understanding that, you know what, God chose me, when I started understanding that, hi man, people are dead. Every day we bury people, but God is keeping me alive. Why? Why are you keeping me alive? Life. There must be a plan that you've got for me. Hi, I want to start knowing that. You know, I want to start finding that out. And once I started making that my focus, it gave me something to look forward to. It gave me something to be happy about. It gave me something to start, focusing on, making it my purpose, other than what was going on around me. Because what is going on around you is defined, it's influenced by what you are looking at in your mind. Your mind. You've got to stop focusing on the negative. You've got to look at all that is gloomy around you. You've got to start looking at all that is, you know, bad, and start living a life of full potential. Start living a life of full potential. You know, start exploring your interests. Start looking at, do I love art? Do I love painting? Can I start painting art? Can I start going to the art galleries? Most of these things that will bring us a little bit of joy, that can actually put a little glimmer of hope in our spirits, in our souls, in our minds, they're actually cost-free. Yes, they are cost-free. It just means doing something that you love. It just means joy. And it doesn't have to cost you money. Because once you don't do anything, you are stuck in that hole. You are stuck in that hole of a failing marriage. You are stuck in that hole of finances which are crumbling. You are stuck in that hole of, you know, a discord in between you and your spouse, always fighting. And you just don't see anything better. You just don't see anything good. So now I want to encourage you guys. Let's cut down one of the real proactive ways that we can cut down on the rate of suicide or of suicide when we encourage speaking. Because right now, I want to tell you the truth, we are being reactive. We've got to be proactive. We are being reactive to suicide. I want to tell you the truth. Now, we are starting this topic. We are talking about it because Ricky Rick is no more. We are talking about it because Baba Shai is no more. We are talking about it because that beautiful girl of Miss USA is no more. Who is next? That is going to be, we are sitting here doing nothing, maintaining the same status quo, living in the societies that we live in, seeing people hanging from poverty, not helping them, propelling their helplessness further, propelling their hopelessness further, seeing people with marriages not going well, not even giving them a time in the day to just talk, not even saying to them, my sister, why don't you just go and seek counseling? Just sitting there. Because I tell you, if we don't do something, the next one is coming. Now I want to share this with you. A spirit of suicide doesn't really leave someone in the sense that it goes away forever and ever. I want to share this, and I know most people are going to say, you, what kind of mamfundisi are you? It's the truth. Every time that difficulties arise in my life, every time that challenges come about, my mind, it goes to that compartment of suicide. You know why? Because it's such a comfortable space that I've lived with for the better adulthood of me. I've lived in that space for a long time. So every time Kemal Matata, I ran to that corner of, hey, let me take my life, let me get out. And you know, you've got to get out every day where your mind is changed every day, where you transform your mind daily. And it's a daily exercise. It's a daily exercise for you to transform your mind. That's why I'm saying to you, you've got to get something to fill up your mind. You know, fill your mind in. Transform your mind. Fill your spirit in. And for me, that was the love of God. For me, that was the knowledge of God. And how I fill my mind up, I fill my mind up with the word of God. I also fill my mind up with books that I love reading. I also fill my mind up with, you know, sharing things which are passionate to me. Like this. You know, it preoccupies my mind. Right now, I don't even focus on what is going bad around me. I don't even have the time for that because I figured, you know what, I can be of help to someone. So find someone ready to occupy your, something ready to occupy your time. Find something ready to occupy, you know, your space, as opposed to just sitting there and dwelling on what you're going through. Now, I want to encourage those people who are going through difficulties, find someone to talk to. The South African Anxiety and Depression Group. They have a number that you can call. As I said, they are fielding 2,200 calls a day. So you can check their number, just give them a call. And then you can also, call the lifeline. And they have a number, 0861-322-322. If you see someone, you know, do not ignore the symptoms. Anxiety, depression, bipolar personality. I'm not a psychologist, bipolar. Is that person is like you're sitting with three, five, six, 8%, eight people. They just change here, zoo, change. Completely change. And you see those people who have post-trauma, you know, and then they're tracking the trauma of those things. Substance dependency. Mm-hmm. And then suicidal ideation. It's those people who are constantly thinking about, what happens when one takes their life? Do they come back? I saw something that I need to address. I saw it. We don't die, we multiply. There's no such, there's no multiplication. I want to address this one. You die, you go and commit suicide, you are dying. Finish and clear. There's no multiplication. The only, I'm not going to even go there because I'm going to start preaching, I don't want to preach. Listen here, if you attempt to kill yourself and you die, let no one lie to you and tell you that you're going to multiply. And this is a concern for me. It's a great concern because I saw it's, you know, it's being propelled even, and then the greatest, you know, difficulty for me is these people who, you know, this, like this young gentleman who is no more, his greatest fans are the youth. So when they take that thing of, we don't die, we multiply, they run with it. You know, we multiply. They think, I'm going to commit suicide. I'm going to come back in many forms. I'm going to come back as many type of things. No, there's not many type of things you're going to come back as. You will be dead. We are going to bury you. Finish and clap. So let us make it a point that we live. Let us make it a point that we live. We don't want to die and multiply. We want to live. And we want to live full potential lives. We want to fully do what God has commissioned us to do in this world. We want to fully be of help to other people. We want to fully make a difference in the lives of people. And I see that, doing philanthropy work, doing a work that focuses on others, not even to focus on yourself. So you need to focus on other people and take the spotlight of yourself. That way, when you have problems, they won't matter, because you'll think of the people that you're with. You'll think of those people. So guys, in my book, Address the Issue of Suicide, I've already said this. So I intend to, talk about mental wellness for the coming weeks. And I think it's not enough for us to leave it there. You may be going through something right now, and you may be feeling, Pastor Ntabi saying, I need help. You may be feeling like, Sister Ntabi saying, I just need help. I'm going to, our initial plan was to have a psychologist, but she's not available today. So we are going to have a wellness event. The 1st of April, we're going to announce the venue. Keep out, a lookout for that announcement. We are going to have psychologists then to help you. Those psychologists, very renowned in their field, and very well knowledgeable in their field. So we're going to have the event on the 1st of April. It's a Saturday. And the venue is going to be announced. And then the psychologist that we are having she's available. She's right here in Polokwane. We're also going to be having some online sessions. We want to arrange psychologists who will also be able to talk to us online, to consult with people online, who will be able to just, who will be able to just guide people and just say, guys, this is how you deal with problems. This is how you deal with problems. You've got to learn to look at you. So I'm not equipped, I'm not a psychologist, but I think that we can put together a team of people who can help us. Really, it's important. And we are also going to like I said, we cannot speak wellness, mental wellness, and then we detach it from spirituality. Some people will need a life coach, so we will also look for a life coach for you, so that a life coach is able to assist you in the sense that, one of the reasons why you may be in this situation is because you've got nothing to look forward to. You've got no vision to look forward to. How about we do what's in the year 2020? Having things like that, it just takes off your mind from the pressures that society and life is bringing forth, and challenges that is bringing forth. So we'll have a life coach for you. We'll also have spiritual coaches. People who, and when I say spiritual coach, let me be clear, I mean people who are going to speak to you about your relationship with God, filling it in with something. I'm not talking about any spirituality. No, I'm speaking about that spirituality that will help you. Because some may say, no, I don't live a life. I don't need a life coach. Maybe you need a spiritual coach. They will be able to, men of God who are, men and women of God will be able to assist us. Please, we are looking for people to work with us. We'll also be, I'll also be there myself, and I'll also be talking about my own experiences. I want to address the issue of suicide being voices, suicide being a spirit, and that is the platform that I'm going to use as well, because many people run away from the fact that suicide is a spirit, and I want to say it now. I'm not going to run away from that. It is a spirit. How it operates, come and hear it from me. I'm not going to tell you about a story about what I read. I'm going to tell you about my own experience, because I tried 3 times to end my life, and I will tell you what was going through my mind in each and every instance, and what I was hearing, and what was pushing me. So there are forces that actually do push. There are forces that actually talk to you and say, no, there's nothing going on for you. There's nothing that is right for you. Just end it all. I experienced that. If you want to know more, please do get in touch with us. I've got my DM on all platforms. You can reach out to me and tell me, are you interested in coming to such an event? Are you interested in having such a discussion? To keep the mental, we still have to get rid of the stigma of mental illness. We still have to get mental unwellness. We still have to get through the stigma of, break those barriers and encourage people to talk. openly about what they're going through. So I'm thinking that people are not going to be very comfortable in terms of just openly sharing their problems right there. So I want to try and keep it down to at least 30 people, only 30 people. And if I sense that there is a little bit of discomfort and I want to hear this from, send me those messages. I want to know, are you comfortable with 30? Are you able to speak, you know, openly in such a group that we can help you, or must we just look at having it in bigger groups that can also be helpful? Because remember, even if we say 30 people, the reality is it's more than 30 people who are suffering. There are men who are suffering, there are women who are suffering. So we've got to keep it, you know, we've got to open the doors and the communication so that everyone is able to come and say, you know what, I need help. But also we have to remember that you know, we are just doing something, that doing it for 30 people, whereas it can help 100 people, you know. So, but we're going to keep it very short, very intimate, and then of course we won't be filming the whole thing because we want to protect the integrity of people who will be coming to the event. They will be filming only the speakers, who will be myself and the psychologist and the life coach, as well as the spiritual mentors, who will be there willing to assist us. But in terms of the attendees, we will not be filming them to protect their integrity and to create that environment where they are able to speak, you know, freely without any fear. Guys, I thank you so much for this podcast. Is there something that I missed? Please just throw it there in the comments. A question, please throw it out there in the comments. I'm still here. I'm here. My book, The Mending of a Broken Vessel, is available, and it talks about the issue of suicide. You know, I never get over the thoughts to end my life. And I'm going to read for you from page 54. I was reading last night, read for you from page 54. And here it says that anything worth being birthed comes with excruciating pain. Pain and disappointments are a certainty with being alive. Yes, you cannot run away from pain when you're alive. You can't. And one can never be proactive in handling them. When one is not rooted in the Lord and has not found one's identity in Christ, one has no idea how to deal with pain. In my personal struggle to deal with life's disappointments, pain taking my life soon became a thought I entertained regularly. I somewhat felt that not living would be a far better way of self. I had a desperate need to be loved. Someone out there can be saying, I have a desperate need to be heard and accepted. Someone out there needs to be accepted. And each time I experienced rejection, I viewed taking my life as a more feasible solution. Pain and rejection. As long as you're alive, it's a given. It's a certainty. So I'm asking myself, how are you dealing with yours? Because if you don't develop a mechanism of dealing with your pain, if you don't develop a mechanism of dealing with the rejection, if you don't develop a mechanism of dealing with the disappointments, you end up feeling hopeless. Hopelessness equals to helplessness. Helplessness leads you to depression. And depression ultimately manifests itself as to suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. I want to encourage you to get a copy of this book. I want to encourage you to read from this book. It's my own story, and I'll be tackling many issues that come from this book. So I'm waiting for your questions. I'm waiting. So there's a comment. Sesibusi says, also the media need to change the narrative, on suicide. I agree. There must be a message in my mouth. Absolutely. I agree with you, Sis Busi. We cannot just, you know, educate you. We cannot just advance things that we hear. This is not taking us anywhere. This is miseducation. And the media is just reporting on that happily. The media is just, you know, happy to even put it on the water bottles, to even just say, yes, this is something that it's a narrative that we are propelling. And it's wrong, you know. So we have to call it out and say, no, this cannot work. This cannot be right. When Ashi says, me too. So there is a need for this kind of talks. Then I'm seeing Latani, he says, This talk is a need. It's a great need. It's a great need. Platforms like this, you know, we should open them. We should open them, oh, you know, freely, without the fear of being judged, without the fear of stigmas being attached to us. And I hear, I see my apostle here says, I am learning. I am learning. It is my greatest wish that people learn. You know, it is my greatest wish that people learn. Oh, Miles, the comedian, he says, wow. And I'm still encouraging you guys. I'm still encouraging you guys. Please do send through those comments. We are really, really interested in knowing, how do we help you? How do we go about assisting you? We want to help you. You know, we want to help you. And I can assure you of this. Like I said, it's not gonna be a folk tale. I'm not a fan of the self-help books, because you know the self-help books will tell you. I'm speaking to people who have been through that experience, life. They're not telling you stories. They are telling you the reality of what happened. And, you know, it's easier to listen to such people, because they're telling you something that they lived. And for me, you know, mental health became a passion. Mental wellness became a passion. And in the coming weeks, I'm going to tackle the issue of, you know, preserving your peace. Preserving your joy. How do you keep it? How do you make sure that you don't lose it? Because preserving our minds are going. If you don't have a mechanism of keeping yourself in a peaceful state, I, for one, I always tell people, you know, don't be shy to walk away from what is not peaceful for your spirit. Because if you keep entertaining things like that, they lead to a state of depression, for one. You know, you keep subjecting and exposing your spirit, even your mind, to things which are really just upsetting. So I just want to encourage you, as we are going to keep on the topic of mental wellness. It's not only mental wellness we are going to be doing. We are going to be doing other topics as well. So keep on the outlook, on the lookout, and then just journey with us throughout this. I'm not seeing any comments, and then I would like to wrap this up. I don't know if anyone would like to say something, or anyone would like me to, you know, touch on something that I omitted from this broadcast. I hope that someone is motivated this Monday. I want to wrap up by saying, you know what, get something to do with your life. Get something to do with your life. And I'm not talking about a job. A job doesn't bring fulfillment. You can ask us. I'm talking about something that brings joy to your spirit, something that brings joy to your mind. When you think about it, you just sleep. You know, it makes you, it's the reason for you to get out of bed. Those are things that actually always keep you on your feet. It always gives you something to look forward to. I want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, please, you know, in as much as you can, have a positive outlook. And it's having things like those that really just puts you in a positive space. Having something to look forward to, it gives you a positive space. The word of God says that joy, you know, it's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's one that the Holy Spirit lives in you, who will see you with joy, who will see you being joyous in everything that you do. So my greatest prayer at this point in time, for the people that we live in, is that, you know, God retains the joy in their spirit. The Bible says, I want to say to someone out there, what is your strength? What is your strength? You've got to find something to be your strength. For me, it is indeed the joy of the Lord. For someone, it may be singing. You know, for someone, it may be reading. For someone, it may be helping, you know, giving what they call volunteer work, helping the needy. Make that the joy in your life that makes you leap, that makes you say, tomorrow, I just want to get out of bed. When I think about this, I just want to get out of bed. The good again. Let's meet again. Let's meet again. Contact me on my DMs. And also, we have a WhatsApp line where we will be inviting people to buy tickets for this event that we are having, Diarise, the 1st of October. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast. It's not necessarily a podcast alone. I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to the Motivational Sundays. I want you to really just, you know, take the effort to someone, and invite people to this platform, invite their Monday mornings with us. It's only half an hour. This one took like 54 minutes, but it's only supposed to be half an hour. So I'm trusting that the good Lord will bless you, and I'm trusting that the Lord will just keep you. So follow me on Instagram. I'm Thabise Mwepe Khatla. Follow me on my page, on my also Instagram page, Ntabis underscore space. Follow me on Facebook, Ntabising Mwepe. And this YouTube channel, Unfiltered with Ntabising. Like this video. And yeah, let's journey on this together. Have a blessed week ahead. Have a blessed week ahead. Have a blessed week ahead. The good Lord bless you. Let's meet again on this platform. Ciao.